It's only right that now that the draft is finished, we got the draft expert on the phone, Andrew Nemec. You can listen to him here on 1080 The Fan, the Andrew Nemec show, recruiting show. But the dude is absolutely plugged in the draft game. I can tell because he just texts me right after the Cowboys' second-round pick, giving me the full breakdown on their pick. I didn't even ask for it, and he gave me the full breakdown on it. Absolutely loved it, Andrew. Thank you for coming on this morning.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course, yeah. I know you always text me about the Cowboys stuff, so I thought I'd just cut to the chase and give you a little bit of a breakdown.
Oh, loved it. Good loved job. It. Yes, I know. That's my guy. That's my guy right there. Well, let's get right into it, Andrew. I mean, the big story, you know, and it's overshadowing everything that happened in this draft, but is the slide of Shedeur Sanders. There's so much back and forth about, is it a matter of skill? Obviously, the Deion factor comes into play here. Were you surprised by this big of a slide at all when it comes to the overall skill set? Do you think he ever even warranted a first round draft pick choice? I want to know the full Andrew Nemec breakdown on the Shedeur Sanders situation.
Sure. So it's really interesting because I always try to grade the quarterbacks every year before things really get rolling and everyone has takes. And I had a third round grade on Shedeur. And my personality comp was not anybody who's a bad character. It was somebody who's entitled and turned his teammates off, and that was Josh Rosen. So a third round quarterback who had some Josh Rosen vibes in terms of personality is a little bit alarming. My comp for him was a less athletic Brock Purdy. He doesn't have the biggest arm. He's small. He's not a good runner at all. And that's not to say he's not accurate, but he's kind of a smaller, accurate quarterback. And when you see Sanders on the back of his jersey, you assume he's this like big armed, incredible athlete. And he just wasn't. My comp is as an unathletic, Brock Purdy. I also kind of had a split there where I said, he's also kind of like, Kirk Cousins coming back from the Achilles. And in terms of his athleticism and the way he can throw the ball, he doesn't have that zip behind it. And that sounds harsh, but I listened to a podcast with Robert Mays and Dane Brugler on The Athletic. Their comps were, and I couldn't believe it because I thought I was hyper-specific, were old Kirk Cousins or unathletic Brock Purdy. So I wasn't the only one to go there. Further, just listening to and reading so much about the draft, he really handled the process poorly in the moment. And people knew that. I'm really into the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Bowl. I try to watch those games. I listen to podcasts about the reports of how each day went. I read reports of how each day went. Players opt out after they have a good first or second day, and they'll say, I tweaked a hamstring. And we all kind of know, okay, they dominated day one, day two, proved what they needed to do, and don't want to risk actual injury. So they opt out, and that's kind of part of the game. But if you accept an invite, you are supposed to participate. You're supposed to participate in at least a day or two of practice. It's actually against the rules to accept the invite with no attempt whatsoever to hit the field. Shedeur turned down the Senior Bowl, went to the Shrine Bowl, which is considered the lesser game because it was close to home, and he showed up and he big-timed the event. He got there and they were ready for him to participate, and he said, oh, no, I'm just here to hang out. And again, it's against the rules. So he kind of big-timed the event and the draft process throughout. He didn't throw at the combine. He was alphabetically next to Tyler Shuck, who has a big arm, and it sounds like his people thought it would look bad for him to throw noodle arm, a little bit of a noodle arm throw compared to Shuck's cannon, and so he opted out. So he handled the process bad, and let's face it, he had kind of a third-round grade.
I mean, yeah, I think that's a little, that's fair for a lot of people that, like you said, didn't really see Shedeur as uber athletic or that much of a leader. There were a lot of questions about leadership for him coming into the draft. So I don't think that surprised a lot of people, but I still think there's a bunch of them that were kind of surprised that he fell as far as he did. But of the quarterbacks that did go in the first round, Nemec, between Cam Ward and Jackson Dart, man, immediately, just as a rookie, who do you see having a bigger impact on their teams right now? Both teams are teams that are been kind of struggling, you know, as of late or as of the last decade or so. So who do you expect to have a bigger impact on their team to start?
well, Cam Ward's going to be the guy from day one, whereas the Giants can really ease in Jackson Dart. And look, Cam Ward is quite a bit further along than any other quarterback in this class, and really actually warranted a top 10 pick in most drafts. You know, last year, you look at the quarterbacks that went early, and I had him roughly kind of in that tier with Michael Penix, where he would have been a top 4 or 5 quarterback in last year's class. That doesn't sound amazing, but you go back and look at last year's group with Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Those three all look like they've at least flashed the potential to be very good. Caleb Williams obviously hasn't lived up to the hype yet, but was almost seen as a generational quarterback prospect, a surefire guy. So to say he's in that tier with Penix means he's pretty ready to hit the ground running. He makes some mistakes, but the mistakes he makes are trying to do too much. He's not getting tricked in terms of coverage. When he throws a ball in and you go, oh no, Cam, what are you doing? He's trying to make a play. It's not that he just like, I didn't see the coverage. I didn't know what was happening. You put on the tape with Jackson Dart, and it's a little bit different. He's more of a project. One, he comes from a Lane Kiffin offense, which is very similar to Tennessee's offense in that it's very watered down. It's really smart. It's really good stuff in college, but it really makes things easy for quarterbacks. It's paint by numbers for him. Jackson Dart's going to have to learn to run an NFL offense. And the big knock on him is he doesn't always read coverages. When he throws a bad ball, it's not because he's forcing something in there. Sometimes it's because he's not seeing what he should be seeing. And that's okay. That's pretty normal for young quarterbacks. He's got more of a learning curve. Cam Ward's ready-made. He's got to tone down some of the gunslinger mentality, but Cam Ward has a chance to be a very good quarterback pretty early in his career, to be honest.
Yeah, the Jackson Dart, I still have the images seared in my head of the end of that Florida game where he seemingly threw a billion interceptions, and a few of them got called back because of penalties and stuff, but he just, you know, like you're saying, reading the field and, you know, being able to see those things, just that's kind of my concern with him there. As far as teams that did do something right, what was your favorite, like, first round draft pick where a team absolutely nailed it? And which team overall you think just had the best draft to you, if not a couple teams?
Well, I just think what the Browns did overall is absolutely phenomenal. They're not going anywhere this year. They've got a ton of dead money in Deshaun Watson's contract. They need a quarterback. They take a couple of late round inexpensive swings instead of going and getting the guy that's going to try to play both ways, and you've got to deal with that, figure all that out. They trade down. They get a very good interior defensive line piece in Mason Graham and pick up what could be a top 10 pick next year in a first-round pick. If you'd have looked at the Browns draft at you know, before the draft started and said they got Shedeur Sanders, Mason Graham, Quinshon Judkins, Dillon Gabriel late, everybody go, wait, what? How'd they pull this off? And then if you throw in, oh, yeah, and they got a first-round pick, you'd be pretty happy. I also love what the Seahawks did. To be honest, you know, they've been, you know, their GM, Schneider, has been really kind of hesitant to invest heavily in interior offensive linemen. They go and get Gray Zabel, who can help them out, I believe, at left guard right away. But long-term, he could be a big-time center for you. He could play right guard. Any of those three interior spots, he's really good. Nick Emenwari was potentially a top 20, top 25 pick. He's that big-bodied kind of Cam Chancellor safety that works really well in a Mike McDaniel offense. They really wanted to have that piece. They trade up to get him. They get Jalen Milroe, just an uber-athletic quarterback. He doesn't have to play right away. In fact, he won't play right away. He's going to sit behind Sam Darnold. But if you develop him, he's got the best tools really of anybody in this class. He's an unbelievable runner. He's got a big arm. That's exciting. And then everybody knows Damian Martinez here in the Pacific Northwest. That's a nice little seventh rounder that has a chance to be an impact back, rotational back in there with Walker or Charbonnet, especially if either one of them get banged up.
Yeah, and just to reference the Miami guys again, them taking Elijah Arroyo at number in the second round. I remember seeing a couple Miami games and him playing out there, and I'm like, dude, that guy, he could be really good on Sundays. He didn't have, like, a huge year in Miami, but he definitely had those pro-like qualities.
Wait, you mean to tell me that a Mario Cristobal college offense didn't necessarily showcase the pass catching weapons.
I know, believe it. Shocking.
I'm completely stunned. You're right, though. Elijah Arroyo, in a different college offense, probably would have been an All-American if he stays healthy all the way through the year. And that's really the question with him. He's been in and out of the lineup with some injuries. But Elijah Arroyo, from an athlete standpoint, he's a first-round athlete at tight end. And that's what you keep coming back to with the Seahawks draft. It's like Nick Emanuari, great athlete. Gray Zabel, versatile interior athlete. Jalen Milrow, incredible athlete. You hit that box and you check that box over and over. And in a draft that doesn't have a ton of high-ceiling guys, you know, we talked about that a lot this week, and everybody talked about that this week, that there aren't a lot of true blue chippers. They took some big swings, and worst case, they got faster and more athletic. And honestly, if any, like if two of their first five picks hit, they could hit at a Pro Bowl level, which is really exciting.
I know the one story that's really dominated this entire draft is Shedeur Sanders and him falling all the way to the fifth round. Mel Kiper seemed to have had like the weirdest fetish for Shedeur Sanders. I like him. I really do like Shedeur, and I think it's a crime he fell to the fifth round. But what was Mel Kiper seeing that maybe the rest of us aren't? Or
money?
You know, I kind of feel bad for Mel Kiper in a way. I think, what he's done for the draft in his career is unimpeachable. He has unequivocally raised the dialogue around the NFL draft and deserves tremendous credit for that. I know Dan Patrick has talked about a push to put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a broadcaster, and I actually support that.
He is
the face and the hair of the NFL draft for two decades. He went out on a big limb with Jimmy Clausen, and that quote is very famous about how great Jimmy Clausen would be. And after that, he spent about 10 years. And if you listen to him, he rode the fence on quarterbacks forever. And Todd McShay and him were kind of partners on ESPN, and they would have back and forth about quarterbacks. McShay's talked about it in the last year, that one of his big gripes was that Mel would ride the fence with quarterbacks. So Todd McShay would come out and say, I love this kid. And Kiper would be very down the middle. Didn't want to offend anybody. Didn't want to upset anybody. He had rankings. But everybody had a chance to be a Pro Bowler and everybody had a chance to be a bust. He wouldn't go anywhere. And I think he heard that. And I think he's been pushed aside a little bit in his career as he's gotten older. And I think he picked a guy to go out on a limb with. And I think it made for ratings. And so he doubled down and tripled down and quadrupled down. And that was his choice. I think he had Shedeur as his number one quarterback. And to be honest, listen, we're wrong about this stuff all the time. Everybody is. I like Bryce Young more than C.J. Stroud. We all get it wrong sometimes. But it's really hard watching tape to put Shedeur Sanders ahead of Cam Ward. It's really hard to do that. They're in a different tier. They're in a different stratosphere. And maybe Shedeur works out, and maybe Cam Ward ends up being a bust, and maybe we all look silly, and the whole league looks silly. But from an evaluation standpoint, if you go arm strength, athleticism, ability to read a field, Cam Ward is really far ahead of Shedeur. And I think to me, and I like to go back and do this, I will go back and read everybody's rankings from this summer. I'll read them from this fall. And guys who have Shedeur 1 with a bullet ahead of Cam Ward, I'm going to question their evaluations going forward. Because, again, it's not close. You're kind of picking a narrative.
Well, Andrew, I would say, can you stick around? But I just looked at the clock, and it's already 9:53. So we basically did have you stick around for the second segment. Appreciate you coming on early Sunday morning, man, and giving us all the draft stuff. Always appreciate your knowledge on this. You're so plugged in. And, again, appreciate the Dallas Cowboys text draft pick analysis. Because, quite frankly, never heard of that dude out of Boston College that you texted me about, and you got me sold on him. And I saw somewhere else that was an A-plus pick for them. So definitely sold on it now.
Yeah, it's a great pick. And then, of course, R.J. Harvey to Denver. In your fantasy drafts, I don't know if you guys ever talk fantasy. He's a guy worth picking up. He is electric. Had the second most 10-yard or more rushes in the country last year behind Ashton Jeanty. Denver and Sean Payton's offense do a great job with running backs. He is a guy to absolutely target late in your fantasy drafts. He has a chance to be a league winner.
And that's why you listen to Andrew Nemec, because he's plugged in on UCF running backs, baby. That's what we love to hear. Andrew, thanks appreciate you coming on this Sunday morning, as always, man. You go back to sleep now.
All right, bye.
Andrew Nemec, you can listen to him here on 1080 The Fan, the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec.